The following Burl Report podcast is made possible through support from Biotech 2014, Transforming Healthcare. Burl Media's 28th annual report on the life sciences, available now at burlmedia.com. I'm Daniel Levine, and this is the Burl Report. As Bio 2014 kicks off in San Diego, the International Convention comes to one of the world's richest clusters of top research institutions, new technologies, and emerging biotech companies. We spoke to Joe Panetta, president and CEO of the Southern California trade group Biocom, about how the San Diego biotechnology sector has evolved since the last time bio came to town, how biotechnology is converging with digital health, and what conference attendees might want to do when they stray beyond the halls of the convention center. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Danny. It's great to be with you.
The 2014 Bio International Convention kicks off in San Diego, June 23rd. Bio was last in San Diego in 2008, which is not that long ago in biotech years, only a couple of clinical trials. How has biotechnology changed in San Diego since then?
Well, you know, we in 2008, we had the most successful bioconvention ever here in San Diego. And of course, it was in June at a time when things were flying high with the stock market and the economy, and it wasn't all that difficult to raise money in biotech during that period of time. And of course, a lot changed within about 3 months, and it became a pretty lean period for biotech. But I think in San Diego during that period of time, what it provided for us was the opportunity behind the scenes for a lot more work to be done on the basic research side, through the grant funding that came in. You know, capital availability sort of shifted a little bit, and we even saw it with our companies. A lot more of our companies began to look for SBIR funding and working with the universities, STTR funding and other forms of grant funding. And of course, CIRM, the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, was at that point really beginning to shift into high gear as far as providing the grant funding for stem cell research. So I think since that time, what's happened is, as things have begun to improve, what's happened in San Diego is a lot of that work on the basic side, you know, in areas like understanding RNAi, understanding sequencing, understanding basic stem cell function and areas like that, digital health as well, the mobile health, digital health area. We're seeing this plethora in company formation of new early stage companies in all of those areas. And so those are areas that really didn't exist that much in San Diego back in 2008. And then, of course, I can point to companies like Illumina and Life Technologies, now Thermo Fisher, that of course have become giants in the sequencing arena. So I think that all points to the ability for us now, as we're going into bio, to feel a little bit more confident that we can work more precisely in product development and in clinical trials and in understanding the populations that we're trying to treat with the therapeutics and the diagnostics and the devices that are being developed.
Well, last week, a working group for the National Institutes of Health put out a report suggesting the Brain Initiative, the ambitious plan to understand the workings of the brain, be funded at $4.5 billion over 10 years. I know UC San Diego is expecting to be a big part of that. What impact do you expect that project to have for San Diego?
To me, it's very similar to, although on a larger scale, nationwide, obviously, to the opportunity that the passage of the stem cell initiative provided. The dollars are there to go, as they did with the stem cell initiative, to the research institutes and the academic institutions to do some of the basic research on brain function and structure and understanding more of the interrelationships between the brain and other organ systems and body systems, and at the cellular level as well. So I think what it provides, and I know UCSD is very excited about the opportunity to tap into these dollars, what it provides with the close relationship that we as an industry have with UC San Diego and with the other research institutes here, another opportunity for us down the road to move into a new field of product development. And, you know, and I see this also in my position on the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee at CIRM. You know, we're dreadfully deficient in our ability to develop effective drugs to treat neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. So I think this is going to hopefully provide the opportunity for us to be down the road, 6, 7, 8, 9 years from now, working with UCSD as a biotech community here to develop more effective products.
So a moment ago, you discussed the emergence of digital health down in San Diego. You're the home to Qualcomm, to West Wireless Health Institute, a large cluster of digital health companies. This year, Bio, for the first time, has a digital health pavilion. Yep. How do you see the convergence of biotechnology and digital health changing healthcare and the biotechnology industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. When we sat down with the folks at Bio last April in Chicago, my management team and their management team, to talk about planning for the Bio 2014 convention here in San Diego, they asked us, what's unique about San Diego? What can we bring to the table to this Bio convention in 2014 that will be new and different and exciting, and that will add to what's happening in the biotechnology world? And we said digital health. San Diego is becoming a center for digital health, and the relationship between telecommunications, medical devices, and therapeutics in digital health in San Diego is a natural, because of the fact that we do have companies such as Qualcomm that were started here 30 years ago alongside the biotech industry. And, you know, I've been in this job for 15 years, and probably for the first 10 years, those sectors continue to evolve on a parallel track for the most part. But the convergence of those technologies now here in San Diego is a natural, and it's become much more clear. And so we're going to have an entire pavilion within the exhibit hall at Bio that highlights the work that's being done, the revolutionary work, too, in digital health here in San Diego with companies like Dexcom and MD Revolution. And it'll also provide, I think, a new aspect to the exhibit hall, because for the most part, the exhibit hall in the past has been kind of a more of a passive kind of a show. This is going to be much more of an interactive thing. We'll have the opportunity for people to try out some of these devices. We'll have the opportunity for them to, you know, get on a treadmill and see how some of these telecommunications devices have been incorporated into digital health to transmit signals on body signs. And we'll really get people in there looking at these things and touching these things and holding them. And hopefully it'll be a much more interactive experience than it's been in the past.
You mentioned your participation on the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine board. You replaced the spot that was held by Dwayne Roth, who sadly died of a biking accident less than a year ago. Is there going to be life in the agency beyond the voter-approved $3 billion for funding that's set to run out in 2017?
Well, you know, we've got a new CEO, Randy Mills, who comes out of the industry, ran a stem cell company at a time when we've got probably another $500 or $600 million in grant funding to award before the funding runs out in 2017. So we're really focused now on ensuring that we prioritize funding to make sure that we take a look at the translational work that's being done between the research and academic institutions and moving the technology into companies and actually awarding some grant funding to some of the companies that that are beginning to develop some of the treatments and therapeutics. So, you know, I think what's important for us in CIRM right now is to be able to both award the grant funding, as I said, and at the same time to communicate with the voters in California about the progress that we've made. And I think that's where Randy's going to be able to do a great job as a former CEO. You know, we had a great, Alan Trounson, the 6.5 years previous CEO, we had great leadership from someone who understood the academic and research side of things. I think as we transition now into the more of the development and commercial side, and obviously you don't put the basic research behind you. There's still a lot that needs to be done, but we need someone who can really go out and communicate what this means in terms of the progress that we've made. And I think also we need to be able to explain that there's a lot more work to be done. So if there was a perception 10 years ago that by 2014 or 2017 we will have been able to treat Alzheimer's and Parkinson's effectively, or that paraplegics would regain all of their muscular function, you know, we know that it's going to take longer. But we can't stop now. There's a lot more work that can be done to build on all the successful work that we've done. And so I think what we're going to have to do is to go back out and look for more funding to be able to continue this effort. And no one has been as successful as the state of California has in terms of attracting talented stem cell research in terms of the publications that have been put out by the researchers on the stem cell research that they've done, and the progress that we've made already on the translational side. So we've developed a real expertise and a real prowess here, and we need to continue it. And of course, it's also this effort's also paid off in the form of royalties that are coming back to the stem cell agency. So it's not as though we're losing money on this effort by any means. It's just going to take longer, but we've made tremendous progress. And my job on that ICOC is to, in the position that I occupy, is to be a voice for the importance of moving this technology into the commercial sector.
So specific discoveries aside, what would you say we've learned from the experience with CIRM, and, you know, as far as funding big science and as far as doing it as a state as opposed to federal? Yeah.
Well, I can't say enough about the team at CIRM, the management team, the staff, the grant review committees. I think what we've shown, and of course, California, you know, we say all the time that California, being the eighth largest economy in the world, is of course larger than many countries. And so to have this kind of an effort that, you know, it is very focused, but in some ways similar to, the size of the overall research budgets of a lot of small countries, we've shown that we're able to put something like this together and to run it effectively. I think by all accounts, the CIRM team has done a fantastic job of managing the $3 billion that the citizens gave them to award to the researchers. And so I think what we've learned is that we can do this as a state.
Most people come to town for the convention. They don't get a lot of time to stray away from it, but given that this is in San Diego this year, I suspect there'll be a few more families in tow and a few people extending their stay. Put your tour guide hat on for a minute, and particularly for people with limited time in the city, what's essential to do while they're in San Diego?
Well, the first thing is that the sun's out and it's 72 degrees every day here. So one thing we don't have to worry about is that if you don't do something today, it might rain tomorrow. I'll guarantee you it's not going to rain during bio for sure. So if folks are here for an entire week, they can plan their entire week out and go out and enjoy themselves in the San Diego sunshine. So I think for me, I would, you know, they're the usual things, right? There's the zoo and there's SeaWorld, there are a lot of the attractions that are pretty well known. But, you know, I would kind of go off the beaten path to see some things that I think are also unique here in San Diego. We've got an incredible aviation museum in San Diego. I mean, aviation in a lot of ways was born in San Diego because when Glenn Curtiss came here from Buffalo to begin his pioneering research in the military in aviation, he came here because the weather was good all the time. And Charles Lindbergh flew his plane out of Lindbergh Field when he began his journey on his transatlantic flight. Flew from here to St. Louis first, but then his airplane was built here. So we've got an incredible aviation museum here. And I think that's worth a visit as well. Second to the aviation museum at the Smithsonian in Washington. I would also not only go to the usual beaches, Mission Beach and Ocean Beach, but the beach in Coronado is just an incredible beach, and it goes for miles and miles. And I would suggest that people go there. And one of the things that a lot of people who come here from other areas don't get the opportunity to experience is the desert landscape. So I would get out of San Diego, get a rental car, and drive out toward Julian and out to the desert and experience a landscape that you just don't get to see anywhere else.
How about the best place to go for a drink after the conference?
Anywhere in the gas lamp.
And what about if you're having a great partnering conversation and you want to carry on after the meeting in the hall and go to dinner? Where's the best place for kind of a power dinner?
Now I'm going to end up being an advertisement for some restaurants. I think down in the gas lamp, but little known place that just opened up is what used to be Croce's. And Ingrid Croce, Jim Croce's widow, ran this place in the gas lamp. In fact, it was the first place, first restaurant to open in the gas lamp back in the early 80s. Moved her restaurant out of the gas lamp, and I believe it's on Bankers Hill now, and I can't think of the name of it, but if folks Google Croce's, they'll find out where it moved to. But I've heard it's gotten some great reviews. So I would go there, and we've got some great seafood places and steak places, believe it or not, too, in San Diego. So any of our seafood or steak places, I would suggest. And got to have a fish taco too. So I would go to Rockin' Baja and get myself a fish taco.
So Joe, the San Diego Padres are near the bottom of the NL West with a record that's actually worse than my beloved Mets. The Giants have the winningest record in baseball, and no. As bio kicks off, there's a three-game series that begins between the Giants and Padres in San Francisco. Now, there's always been a bit of a competitive streak between the Bay Area and San Diego biotech communities, but is this going to give you a source of grief from your colleagues from the North while you're at the conference?
Well, I think our challenge right now with the Padres is we just can't hit. You know, we've got some great pitching, and we've got some great defense, just don't have a lot of hitting. And I think there's a lot that we need to do to get to where San Francisco is. And Bruce Bochy, of course, was our skipper here for years and was also a Padre catcher before that. So we're proud that of Bruce, who still lives down here, and we're proud of the record that he's been able to put together with the Giants. But we're ever hopeful here in San Diego. It's not just the Padres. We've never won a major sports championship title here in San Diego. So we've gone to the World Series twice. We've gone to the Super Bowl once. We don't have a hockey team. We don't have a basketball team. But one of the things that you'll find with San Diego sports fans is that we're ever optimistic that one of these days we're going to win a major sports title.
Joe Panetta, President and CEO of the Southern California Biotechnology Trade Association, Biocom. Joe, thanks as always.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
And a reminder to our listeners that Biotech 2014, Transforming Healthcare, Burl Media's 28th annual report on the life sciences, is now available. To order a copy or download a free sample, go to burlmedia.com. Thanks for listening. For information on Burl & Company events and publications, go to burlandco.com. And be sure to join us at theburlreport.com for the latest news and analysis on the life sciences industry. Sign up for our free e-newsletter, the Burl Weekly Brief, by hitting the sign-in link at the top of our website. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Burl Report and at DS Levine. And thanks to Jonah Levine for providing the Burl Report theme music.